भगवते वासुदेवाय।
We are reading this morning from the 8th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 23, which is entitled The Demigods Regain the Heavenly Planets, text number 16.
Mantratah antratas tantratas chidram deshakalarhavastutam sarvam karoti nischidram anusankirtanam tava.
Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation: there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantra and observing the regulative principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. Purport: Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended Harer Naam, Harer Naam, Harer Naamaiva Kevalam, Kalau Nastyaiva 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 Gatiranyatha. In this age of quarrel and hypocrisy, the only means of deliverance is chanting the holy name of the Lord. There is no other way. There is no other way. There is no other way. Brihannaradiya Puran 38:126. In this age of Kali, it is extremely difficult to perform Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or sacrifices perfectly. Hardly anyone can chant the Vedic mantras with perfect pronunciation or accumulate the paraphernalia for Vedic sacrifice. Therefore, the sacrifice recommended in this age is Sankirtan, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Yagyaihi Sankirtana Prayai Yajantihi Sumedhasa. Bhagavatam 11:5:29. Instead of wasting time performing Vedic sacrifices, those who are intelligent, those who possess good brain substance, should take to the chanting of the Lord's holy name and thus perform sacrifice perfectly. I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted, Prabhupada seen. I have seen that many religious leaders are addicted to performing yajnas and spending hundreds and thousands of rupees for imperfect sacrificial performances. This is a lesson for those who unnecessarily execute such imperfect sacrifices. We should take the advice of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Yagyaihi Sankirtana Prayer Yajantihi Sumedhasaha. Although Shukracharya was a strict Brahmana, addicted to ritualistic activities, he also admitted, Nishchidram Anusankirtanam Tava. My Lord, constant chanting of the holy name of your Lordship makes everything perfect. In Kali Yuga, the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies cannot be performed as perfectly as before. Therefore, Srila Jiva Goswami has recommended that although one should take care to follow all the principles in every kind of spiritual activity, especially in the worship of the deity, there is still a chance of discrepancies. And one should compensate for this by chanting the holy name of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In our Krishna Consciousness Movement, we therefore give special stress to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra in all activities. So first of all, I would like to take the blessings of senior devotees here, in particular Srinathji Prabhu, before I can speak a few words on this verse that we are discussing this morning. One time when His Holiness Devamrita Swami Maharaj was here giving a lecture, he said that the special privilege of the temple here at Chopati is that here we have luxurious association of devotees. Association of devotees is there everywhere, but he said here we have luxurious association of devotees, such a luxury that everywhere we turn our face around, we have devotees around us. So many wonderful devotees. And also, we have a great luxury of having many, many senior qualified speakers who come here and speak on the different verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam, the particular episode that is in discussion. And therefore, it's a great luxury. It's a great luxury to have devotees who have spent several years in Krishna consciousness, sharing their realizations, sharing their experiences in Krishna consciousness, in context of the particular verses and the episodes that are being discussed from the Srimad Bhagavatam. So, last several months, we have been discussing this episode of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev. And these are the last few verses, which is kind of the conclusion of this episode. And I have not been so fortunate to be around here. I've been traveling a lot last 2 months. And I've not been so fortunate to be around to listen to all the classes of the wonderful senior devotees here. But I was fortunate to attend a couple of those classes. And the incredible amount of realization, information, and experience that devotees share is really a great inspiration to everyone. And therefore, once His Grace Bhagwan Prabhu in His Bhagavatam class was explaining that one of the names of Srimati Radharani is Vidyarthini. She has many, many names, but one of her names is Vidyarthini. Vidyarthi is a male student. Vidyarthini is a female student. And Srimati Radharani is called Vidyarthini because she is constantly learning newer and newer ways to serve Krishna. Software people can appreciate that a lot. Upgrading, you know, upgrade of software and skills. But here she is constantly upgrading her knowledge, her skills and her abilities to serve Krishna. She is the Ladini Shakti. Why does she need to learn newer and newer ways to serve Krishna? Bhagavan Prabhu was explaining because Krishna is Nitya Nava Navaya Mana. He doesn't stay the same. If Krishna remains the same, then service can continue the same. But because Krishna continually is growing, getting newer and newer and newer, therefore Srimati Radharani, she is constantly learning newer and newer ways to serve Krishna. Thus, she is a perpetual student, Bhagavan Prabhu was explaining. She is a perpetual student, Vidyarthini, constantly learning ways how to serve Krishna better. And then he mentioned, if Srimati Radharani is the Vidyarthini, then no one else can think that I know how to serve. You know, if anyone knows that I know how to serve better, if anyone thinks I know how to preach better, I know how to manage better, I know how to cook better, I know how to sing better, then we should remember this word Vidyarthini. If she is learning, who are we? Bhagavan Prabhu was explaining. And therefore, he was saying that Krishna consciousness means constantly trying to learn more and more from senior Vaishnavas, from the spiritual masters, from the acharyas, from the episodes of the Srimad Bhagavatam, by which we can get finer and finer in the practice of our Krishna consciousness. Of course, nowadays Vidyarthi's learning is far away. One father, he was beating his child black and blue, slapping him. So, another guy came and asked, hey, why are you beating your son like this? He said, no, I'm beating my son because, you know, result. He said, but the result is tomorrow. Why are you beating him today? He said, tomorrow I'm out of town. I know what the result will be. Nowadays, for students to learn, Vidyarthis, oh my God, someone sent me an SMS saying, padna likhna, chhod padai, nakal pe rakhna aas. Utha rajai soja, bachche rab karega paas. You know, they said, if leave your padna nakna and nakal pe rakh aas. Always do nakal. Utha rajai, soja bachche. Why you go to her heart? Nakal pe rakhas, rab karega paas. But Krishna consciousness is not about rab karega paas. Krishna consciousness is about nakal pe rakhas. We are all wanting to do nakal. We are all wanting to follow the great souls. And Srimati Radharani, being Vidyarthini, is teaching us that we should also be Vidyarthi. When we talk of nakal pe rakhas, to do nakal of personalities like Srimati Radharani, or here Bali Maharaj, we are not talking of imitation, but we are talking of inspiration. Imitation is anukaran, inspiration is anusaran. Imitation is we'll start following the details and that will become sahajiyavad.
But inspiration is to learn. Learn the different principles as a Vidyarthi from these wonderful episodes of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Continually from the dearth of experience and realization that is shared by so many wonderful devotees all over the world. And as a perpetual student, refine the state of our Krishna consciousness and our practice. Srila Prabhupada, he was always, you know, perfect soul coming from the spiritual world, but constantly learning newer and newer ways how to serve Krishna. And Srila Prabhupada, when he was in the West, Sally Agarwal recalls that Prabhupada used to be always stunned by what he would see, and he would always want to know what it is. Sally Agarwal explains how when Prabhupada saw the vacuum cleaner for the first time, he was stunned. What is this machine cleaning? And Prabhupada wanted to know more. And constantly he was looking at different things all over the Western world and saying, how can I learn things to incorporate in this Krishna consciousness movement? Therefore, our Gaurang Prabhu, you know, I was thinking I will say something about him this morning, just for a few minutes. And amazing quality is, you know, he's like a Vidyarthi constantly. Why? Because sometimes His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has given certain services which are absolutely outside the scope of metallurgical engineering from IIT. It has nothing to do with metallurgical engineering. Right. You know, opening the Govinda's restaurant and starting the Govinda's and trying to bring it up to a certain level. Oh my God. Getting into the kitchen, cooking, and then going to the Wada farm. And, you know, all kinds of farming and retreats and constructions. But applying himself to do research and trying to see what is the best possible available everywhere and trying to refine the quality of the service that is given. And therefore, it's a wonderful example that following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and following in the footsteps of Srimati Radharani, who is a Vidyarthini, devotees are constantly learning, enhancing their Vidya in Krishna consciousness of how to serve better. So, when I was given this verse to speak on, Mantratas Tantratas Chidram, it's a very powerful verse. And I thought I wouldn't be able to do justice to the verse in particular because it's on the holy name. And it's a tall order to speak fully on the holy name. And most devotees who come on Sunday also don't get to hear the whole episode that is going through, all the verses and all the things that were discussed about these verses. So since we are ending this episode, I thought it would be a good idea to go through the whole story and summarize the entire story of Bali Maharaj and Vamandev and then come finally to this verse and discuss all the wonderful things that were discussed here in the morning Srimad Bhagavatam classes. This will be of great benefit to the devotees who are not here through the week. And therefore, the story begins with Bali Maharaj being defeated by the demigods, and Bali Maharaj leaves his body. When Bali Maharaj is dead, Shukracharya, the Brahmana, he comes and brings Bali Maharaj back to life. Because Shukracharya brings Bali Maharaj back to life, Bali Maharaj becomes obliged. It's natural that if someone saves us from a life and death situation, one becomes extremely obliged. It is not that Bali Maharaj personally went into shelter of Shukracharya to accept that Smartha Brahmana as a guru. But because he was saved by Shukracharya, he was brought back to life out of obligation and gratitude. He took shelter of Shukracharya and accepted Shukracharya as his guru. Obviously, Shukracharya, being the great Brahmana, he wanted now that Bali Maharaj should prosper, and therefore he engaged him in a sacrifice called the Vishwa Jita Yagya. The very name signifies Vishwajita Yagya, means that Yagya which will help you conquer the entire Vishwa, the entire universe. And the whole agenda, the plan of Shukracharya is that when Bali Maharaj performs this Vishwajita Yagya and acquires the whole universe, he's going to be the guru, he's going to be the mentor and the guide of the greatest person in the universe. So after the Vishwajita Yagya is performed, from the Vishwajita Yagya come a brilliant chariot with brilliant steeds and horses, and all kinds of celestial weapons come out of the sacrificial arena, the Yagya Kunda. Bali Maharaj adorns himself with all the wonderful garments and ornaments that come out of the Yagya, and takes the weapons that come out of the yagya, boards the chariot, and according to the instruction of Shukracharya, attacks Indraloka. When Bali Maharaj attacks Indraloka, as Bali Maharaj is approaching Amravati, the abode of Indra, Indra sees Bali Maharaj coming on the chariot. He is dazzling, effulgent like the sun. All the facilities that he has are incredibly brilliant. And therefore, Indra is scared to death. He is thinking, how will I be able to deal with this gentleman, Bali? Naturally, in such a situation, he rushes to his guru, Brihaspati, and asks Brihaspati, this fellow Bali, he is a demon after all. How did he get this power? And that is the first lesson in this chapter, where this begins. The very first message that this chapter gives. In one verse, Brihaspati explains to Indra what is the key to power and success in life. Janami maghavan shatror unnatter asya karanam. Janami maghavan. हे मघवन, हे इंद्र, जानामी, मैं जानता हूं, आई नो, यू मे नॉट नो वाई इज सक्सेसफुल, जानामी मघवन, बट आई नो वाई दिस बली इज सक्सेसफुल एंड सो पावरफुल. आई नो शत्रोर उन्नति कारणम, आपके शत्रु की उन्नति का क्या कारण है. वॉट इज द कॉज ऑफ योर शत्रुज प्रॉस्पेरिटी एंड पावर. जानामी मघवन शत्रोर उन्नते रस्य कारणम. I know the cause of his unnati, his progress, his prosperity, his power. Indra says, what is it? Please oblige and tell me, what is the cause of his power? Shishya upabhritam tejo bhrigubir brahmavadi bhi shishyaya upabhritam tejo. Because he has pleased his guru, Shukracharya. Bhrigubi Brahmavadivi, coming in the line of the Bhrigu dynasty, because he has pleased Shukracharya, who is his guru, Shishaya Upabhritam. Shishya ko ashirvad diya hai. Shishaya Upabhritam, because the spiritual master, the guru, has blessed him, Tejaha. That is the source of his Teja. That is the source of his power. And therefore, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada, of course, quotes as usual, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasadu, Yasya Prasadat Nagati Kutopi. But Prabhupada makes a very powerful statement. He says, the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor for such advancement. One can keep making personal endeavor to advance in Krishna consciousness, but it doesn't have much value. One's personal endeavor will not achieve Krishna. Prabhupada explains that the blessings of the spiritual master are more powerful than one's personal endeavor in trying to make spiritual advancement and progress. And therefore, this is a very powerful principle and lesson that we can learn here from the story of Bali Maharaj, that in order to make unnati, unnati karanam is shishaya upabhritam, the blessings of the spiritual master. And therefore, it is explained that when Hanumanji was crossing the ocean to go to Sri Lanka, Hanumanji, after Jamwan reminded him, and became huge in size. And he started saying, I will go. What is the big deal? I can cross this 100 yojans very easily. No one can stop me. I can do anything. Seems like boasting, you know. Seems like he's boasting that I can do, I can do, I can do, I can do, I will cross, I will do this. And therefore, anyone who reads the Ramayana and reads these verses in the beginning will get bewildered. Hanuman is saying, Dutoham Rama Kosalendrasya, I am Duta, I am servant. And what is he talking of? You know, I am doing, I will go, I will cross. And therefore, if one reads the subsequent verses, then Hanumanji gives one analogy. He explains that when an arrow goes to its destination, the arrow definitely can say that I am going, I will kill. But the arrow must always be cognizant of the fact that the power to the arrow comes from the bow. The arrow itself cannot do anything. Only when the arrow is on the bow and it is shot, then that arrow will get the power. And therefore, Hanumanji explains that I am the arrow of Lord Ramchandra. And Ramchandra's arrow has never failed in his life so far. Therefore, how can I fail? He's not saying that he's great. He's saying that Lord Ram's arrow has never failed so far in accomplishing any task. And since I am Lord Ram's arrow, how can I fail? And therefore, just like an arrow is empowered by the bow, every act of a disciple is empowered by the blessings of the spiritual master. Shishyaya uparhitam tejo. That is the unnatti karan, or the cause of progress and prosperity. Lord Krishna and Sudama, while they were studying in the Gurukul of the spiritual master Sandipani Muni, Sandipani Muni had blessed them, right? Because they were willing to give up their body for the pleasure of Sandipani Muni when they were stuck in that forest in that storm. Sandipani Muni blessed. Chandansi ayatayamam. All the knowledge that I have given you will come to your use not only in this life but even in the next. Therefore, knowledge is not important. The knowledge is empowered by the blessings. Simply, knowledge is the cause of destruction, chaos, and distraction in Krishna consciousness. But when that knowledge is blessed by the blessings of the spiritual master, the guru, then that knowledge is the cause of bhakti, then that knowledge is the cause of service to devotees and humanity at large. And therefore, we find that knowledge, like the arrow, must also be empowered by the bow, the spiritual master. And thus, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, once a devotee asked him, Guru Maharaj, you are a Goshtyanandi, you are preaching Krishna consciousness all over the world, but your Guru Maharaj, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji Maharaj, was a Bhajanandi. He was sitting and simply chanting Hare Krishna. Now, how does one understand? You know, you are speaking, but it seems like you are doing what you want to do, but you know, what about your guru? You should be following your guru. And at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur was on a boat. This is in Bhakti Vikas Maharaj's Bhaktisiddhanta Vani Vaibhav. As he was on the boat, there was an engine making a lot of sound. And when the engine was making a lot of sound, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, see, engine makes a lot of sound, but power comes from battery. Battery is unseen, sitting in a corner, and the engine is making sound and driving the boat, but finally the power is coming from the battery. Therefore, I am like that engine. I may be speaking and I may be preaching Krishna consciousness, but you should know that the blessings and the empowerment is coming from the battery, who apparently may not be seen, may be sitting in a corner simply chanting Hare Krishna, but his empowerment and his blessing. Shishyaya upabhritam tejo. Right. When the shishya is blessed by the blessings of the spiritual master, then one can actually, you know, get the power to confront anything and preach Krishna consciousness. Like here, Bali Maharaj is going and confronting Indra. In one sense, Bali is a demon and Indra is a demigod with so much power. Vishnu is on his side. But still, because of the blessings, Bali gets the power to go and challenge Indra. I mean, that's kind of incredible. They have been defeated many times. But still, because of the blessings of Guru, he knows, I can go and I can challenge Indra. His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj many times says that life is very boring when we do things based on our own personal endeavors. Life becomes very exciting when we become instruments in our Guru's hands. Life is very boring because all what we have is our mind, our senses, our intelligence, our life and our knowledge. And with that we are trying to serve. It's very boring and monotonous. But when one becomes an instrument, an arrow in the bow, the Guru's hands, then life becomes very, very exciting. And Srila Prabhupada's disciples explain this, how life was exciting. You can ask His Grace Shyam Sundar Prabhu, and he'll say how life was exciting, how it was full of fun, because they just surrendered fully to the will of the spiritual master. And once there was no rent to pay for the apartment, and Shyam Sundar Prabhu and Malati Mataji were walking on the street, and suddenly dollar bills started flying from nowhere. This is too much. When I heard this story for the first time, I said, bohut jyada ho gaya. How can dollar bills just start flying? But bohut jyada ho gaya on our personal endeavor. It's not jyada at all when one becomes an instrument in the hands of the spiritual master. And when they collected the dollar bills and counted it all, it was exactly the amount for the rent. this is too much. When I heard this, abhi to bahut jyada ho gaya, I thought, dollar will run, I think, but this is too much. But nothing is too much. Nothing is too much when there is the empowerment of the spiritual master. And therefore, Maharaj says, life becomes very exciting when one tries to become an empowered instrument in the hands of the spiritual master. Otherwise, life is boring with our own mind and senses struggling hard in the process of Krishna consciousness. Three rats were one time discussing with each other, and all three were bragging. One rat told the other rat that you can't imagine my capacity. I have digested 500 grams of rat poison that they put in that one pakoda. You know, they tried to kill me. I digested it all. The second rat said, what's the big deal? What, you are nothing. You only digested it. I'll tell you my power and capacity. See the strength of my teeth. You know, when they caught me in a rat trap, I bit the entire rat trap to powder and ran away. The third rat said, both of you shut up. You can't imagine my capacity. I'm going to show my power now. I said, what? I'm going to harass the cat in the house. Straight away to the cat, not rat poison or mouse trap. And therefore, the soul is like a rat, 1/10,000 the tip of a hair, and Maya is like a cat, you know. And imagine the guts of the soul. Hare Krishna movement is a very courageous movement, you know. Imagine the guts that the rat is saying, I'm going to harass the cat now. Challenge the cat. Go and look eye to eye, straight into the eyes of Maya. What is Bali Maharaj? How is Bali Maharaj going to go and challenge Indra? Indra is a demigod with Vishnu on his side. But Bali Maharaj is going and challenging him. We, the soul, insignificant soul, can be like a rat, small, insignificant, 1/10,000, the tip of a hair. But challenging the material energy, but it's only possible because Guru's blessings are there. When the spiritual master's blessings are there, then it is very, very simple to challenge the material energy. And things become very, very easy to do. Apparently difficult things become easy to do. Kathanchana smrite asman dushkaram sukaram bhavet vismrite viparitansyan chaitanyakhyam namamitam. Anyone who remembers Sriman Mahaprabhu and his followers, the spiritual master, then dushkaram sukaram bhavet. Dushkaram, that which is very difficult to do, sukaram bhavet, becomes very simple to do by the power of blessings. And therefore, the first message here in this episode is very powerful, that Indra is now been challenged by Bali on the chariot which has come from the Vishwajit Yajna, ready to conquer Indra Loka. After Brihaspati tells Indra that this is the cause of his unnati, success, Indra is very fidgety and scared. He asks Brihaspati, but how am I going to win then? How will I maintain my position as the king of heaven? Right. How will I maintain the position of Shatakratu, the person who has performed 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas? Because Brihaspati makes Shukracharya makes Bali also do the Ashwamedha Yajnas. Right. So how am I going to maintain my position? And now, Brihaspati, being a sage who can look into the future, explains to Indra what is going to happen in the future. In one verse, Esha viprabalodarkaha samprati urjita vikrama tesham eva apamanena sanubandho vinankshati. Don't worry, Indra. I can look into the future. And because I can look into the future, I can tell you what is going to happen. I can tell you that how this gentleman Bali, Esha eva apamanena, he will do apaman, he will do insult, he will offend his own guru Shukracharya. And as soon as he offends Shukracharya, as soon as he does apaman, insult to Shukracharya, what will the result be? Sa anubandho vinankshati. Sa anubandho, sab kuch, everything, all what he has, everything that he has gathered, vinankshati, will all be destroyed. simply because of one thing. And therefore, if the first lesson is that Guru's blessings give success, unnati karan, then Guru's aparad or offense to the spiritual master or Vaishnavas, vinankshati, becomes the cause of destruction in all the endeavors of a sadhaka. And therefore, we can see that the third offense to the holy name of the Lord is to disobey the orders of the spiritual master. One who disobeys the orders of the spiritual master will not get the benefit of chanting Hare Krishna. Karna went to Parshuramji and Parshuram said, I only give knowledge to Brahmanas. Karna said, I am Brahmana. Cheated the Guru. Committed a Guru aparad. And Parshuramji gave knowledge to Karna. All knowledge was given. But one day when Karna was lying on the lap, Parshuram was lying on the lap of Karna, a scorpion came and bit him. And when Parshuram got up, he saw a bloody mess all around him, a pool of blood. And Parshuram said, you can't be a Brahmana. Because Brahmana cannot stand up to such pain. Only Kshatriyas can. Therefore, I curse you. That all the knowledge that you have got, you will forget it at the time of need. Whereas Lord Krishna and Sudama got the blessing that the knowledge will remain with them, Karna got the curse that the knowledge will not be there with him. So it's not the knowledge, it is the blessing. And therefore, offense to Guru means vinankshati. Sa anubandho vinankshati. Destruction is bound to happen. And thus, it's not just a question of Guru, but committing offense to any devotee, Vaishnava, is the cause of downfall and destruction. Everything that one gathers for so long is gone. And therefore, the word offense is interesting. Because in the word offenses, we have our Krishna consciousness is on now. But as soon as there is an offense, Krishna consciousness becomes off. And one is thrown out of the fence of the association of devotees. Therefore, it is called offense. You know, as soon as one commits an aparad or an offense, the Krishna consciousness that is ongoing becomes off and one is thrown out of the protective fence of the Vaishnavas, of the devotees. And therefore, one has to be very careful to guard against offense by which everything is destroyed. Sa anubandho vinankshati. Shobhari Muni, he was in Vrindavan, under the banks, under the waters of Yamuna. And if I'm not wrong, it was someone told, I can't remember. But it was the month of Kartik. In the month of Kartik, in Vrindavan, under the waters of the river Yamuna, he's performing austerity. Years of austerity, he gathered so much merit. One offense to Garudji. And two fishes coming together, finished. You know, he was disturbed. Challenging Maya before was so simple. It was peanuts to challenge Maya. To speed nuts to follow everything. One offense. Now, if one goes to the aquarium, one can't even recognize a male fish and a female fish. One cannot make out which is a male fish, which is a female fish. Forget about talking about what they are doing. You know. And a great sage like Shobhari Muni, disturbed by such an insignificant thing. But an insignificant thing becomes too big when there is offense. And therefore, Shobhari Muni, he came out, you know, and married the 50 daughters of King Mandhata and all of that story we know. Later he regrets that it was the offense that was the cause for my downfall. Therefore, our Shruti Dharma Prabhu, when we were in London recently, he was saying that Jiva Goswami says, this is a very powerful statement, he is quoting Jiva Goswami. He says, if one commits 100 offenses to devotees, he becomes a victim of inattentive chanting. First step. And if beyond 100, if it goes to 1,000 offenses to devotees, one breaks the four regulative principles. Jiva Goswami's explanation. And when this 1,000 offenses goes to 10,000 offenses, one stops chanting Hare Krishna. So Shruti Prabhu was quoting Jiva Goswami and saying that this is the order in which offenses go on, and therefore one has to guard against the offenses to Guru and Vaishnavas properly. And the cause of offense is selfishness. Selfish motives and agenda Just like one time there in a river, there were many fishes and a baby fish asked the mother fish, Mama, why don't we live on the earth? The mother fish said, no, beta, we can't live on earth. We are fishes. We are meant to be in water. Again, she kept pestering, Mama, why can't we live on earth? The mother fish said, no, beta, you know, the river water is meant for the goldfish, the jellyfish, the starfish, the guppy fish, you know. Earth is meant for the shellfish, beta, you know. It's not meant for us. Earth, you know, planet Earth is meant for the selfish. And therefore, naturally we are conditioned to selfishness, being on planet Earth. Conditioned soul means selfishness. And thus, unless there is a struggle to avoid motives in the association of devotees and selfish agendas in the association of devotees, there will always be offenses. And thus, one has to be on guard. I remember once I was chanting in the Vrindavan forest next to the pond. And as I was chanting, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj came there. And I was chanting. He said, you are chanting or looking at the fish? I said, Maharaj, I am chanting Hare Krishna. First, I was looking at the fish before beginning. He said, beware. Shaubhari Muni, you know what happened. And he said, you should put a board here near the pond. Shaubhari corner banned for brahmacharis. He said, banned for brahmacharis, Shaubhari corner. And then he said, he was looking at these fishes and he made a very powerful point. There was a white fish and a saffron fish swimming together. And Maharaj said to me, just see, one pond, same water, white fish and saffron fish, both going together in the same objective of getting food. He said, Radha Gopinath community is like this pond. The saffron fish is the brahmacharis and the white fish are the grihasthas. And he said, therefore, the brahmacharis and the grihasthas must cooperate very well in this pond. And the objective is the same, to serve Krishna. In service to Krishna, white saffron doesn't matter. You cooperate. You cooperate with each other, you make friendships with each other, and you submit to each other to serve the mission. Do not hold, I am saffron. Do not hold that I am a saffron, I am a brahmachari. Never hold an holier than thou attitude. I remember he told me right here in the Vrindavan forest. And therefore, in a wonderful community with so many wonderful brahmacharis, grihastas, such a wonderful Vaishnava community, the strength is the association, but offenses means sa anubandho vinankshati. Therefore, there's a very powerful statement I heard. It says, community gives immunity. When we have a wonderful community of devotees in that association, the community of devotees gives us immunity to maya. But as soon as there is an offense, that immunity is gone. And when the immunity is low, then disease comes. The material disease comes again. And therefore, this is a very powerful lesson that we can learn with the ongoing episode of Bali Maharaj and Vamanadev, that offense can destroy everything. So Indra conquers the heavenly abode. Brihaspati tells all the, Bali conquers the heavenly abode. Brihaspati tells all the demigods headed by Indra, you hide in disguise now. So they're all hiding. Meanwhile, Aditi and Kashyap here are having a conversation, and Aditi is very disturbed that my sons are, you know, hiding in disguise. Their power has been taken away. And therefore, when Kashyap one day comes back out of meditation, Aditi comes and requests Kashyap Muni, my dear husband, you're like my spiritual master. I request you, you kindly give me some means by which my sorrow and distress of losing the position of my sons will be mitigated. Kashyap Muni says, she is my wife. She is the wife of a self-realized soul. And what is she asking? Mere bete ko wapis raja banao. It's funny. Self-realization means what? Beta beti. So first, Kashyap Muni preaches, what is beta beti? Go beyond beta beti level. Don't be bothered about sons and their positions on the heavenly planets. After all, everything is temporary. After all, everything will be taken away. You're not the body, you're the soul. And he speaks about self-realization. Then Kashyap Muni realizes that lady is not pacified. Again she brings it up. Beta, you know, Indra Beta. He's taken out. So I want him to be on the throne. So now Kashyap Muni realizes she is not going to be satisfied like this. She is beyond self-realization at this stage. She can come to the stage of self-realization one day. But right now I have to give her a process that will work on her level. And therefore Kashyap Muni instructs her in the process of payovrata unto the Lord, by which she can pacify the Lord, please the Lord, and get the power of her sons back. Therefore, here is another very powerful lesson, the third lesson. First is that the spiritual master will never ever instruct a disciple beyond his level to take it. Spiritual master knows how much the disciple can take. And based on how much the disciple can take, only he will give. He won't give more than that. And therefore, we know the story of Tamal Krishna Goswami Maharaj. We know the story of how that Raja Damodar party, there were complaints and all that in Mayapur. Prabhupada, you know, he called him, and Prabhupada did not complain. He did not make all this, what he said. He never said that. Prabhupada only said, before saying anything, Tamal Krishna Maharaj guessed that this is how it's going to be. He's going to talk about Raja Damodar party. He said, Prabhupada, I might as well go to China. Prabhupada kept silent. He didn't say anything. And then later, next morning during the Mangala Arati, Prabhupada's servant came and called Tamal Krishna Maharaj back into Prabhupada's room. And when he came up, Prabhupada said, so Tamal, you said you wanted to go to China. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj protested like anything. He was honest, like Aditi. He said, Prabhupada, that was like, I said, you know, it is like, kidhar nahi to China jayenge. Why Radha Damodar? He said, who will take care of the Radha Damodar party? And Prabhupada said, I gave you that service, Tamal. And I'm taking that service back from you now. Now go to China. Very heavy, you know. Prabhupada said, I gave you that service and now I'm taking that service back from you. Now you go to China. And Tamal Krishna Maharaj said, it was a heavy blow, but I reflected that if this is what is going to please Srila Prabhupada, I will do it. And he went to China, and the results of Shidama Prabhu was telling. He goes to China and he was explaining the wonderful devotees in China and the wonderful preaching activities taking place in China. So the spiritual master will always instruct his disciple based on his level. And the disciple is also very, very honest. You know, he's very honest. He says if he can't take it, he will discuss with the spiritual master. If he still wants, then he will do it. And once he gets the path, dedication. So Aditi, when she got the process of payovrata, she dedicated herself to understand it and follow it properly. She was not foolish. She was an intelligent lady. A foolish disciple may not understand what the guru is saying and may do what he wants. Like a doctor, a man came to a doctor and said to the doctor, sir, I'm obese and I want to lose weight. What should I do? So he said, okay, you run for 8 kilometers daily for 30 days. So he did that. And after 30 days, he called the doctor back and the doctor said, so you have reduced your weight? He said, yes. How many kilos? He said, 5 kilos. I said, wonderful. He said, but doctor, there's one problem. He said, what? I'm 240 kilometers away from home, he said. You know, because you're supposed to run 8 kilometers daily for 30 days. He kept running 240 kilometers away from home. And therefore, when the physician or the doctor gives an instruction, there has to be sufficient intelligence to understand that instruction and apply it properly with dedication. Aditi, she understood the instruction of the guru, her husband, Kashyap Muni, and applied it with firm determination. And therefore, the result was the next part of the episode, where Shrunayam Shravana Dvadashyam Muhurte Abhijiti Prabhu Shrunayam Shravana Dvadashyam. On the Shravana Dvadashi, Abhijiti Prabhu, during the Muhurta Abhijit, the Supreme Personality of Godhead appeared. And as soon as he appeared, he took the form of a dwarf, Vamana. Sun God gave him the Gayatri Mantra. Brihaspati gave him the sacred thread. Kashyapa Muni gave him Maunja Mekhalaya, the straw belt. Mother Earth gave him the deer skin. The demigod of the moon gave him a Brahma Danda, the Brahmachari's rod. The deity presided over the heavenly kingdoms gave him an umbrella. His mother Aditi gave him the Kopin cloth. The seven sages gave him Kushagras. Mother Saraswati gave him a string of Rudraksha beads to wear. Kuvera gave him a pot for begging alms. And Mother Bhagavati, the wife of Lord Shiva, gave him the first alms. In this way, Vamanadeva appeared. And if one sees that photo of Lord Vamanadeva on Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, this is the exact description, right? As is given in the Bhagavatam, holding an umbrella, putting the Rudraksha beads given by Saraswati, the Munja Mekhalaya, the belt of straw, the Brahmachari Danda, the begging arm pot, Kamandalu. And now, Vamanadeva comes to Bhrigukacha on the banks of the river Narmada because he hears that this gentleman, Bali, is performing a yajna. And I have come here to see that Indra ka sab theek hoye because I promised Aditi. When he comes dressed up the same way as you described here, straw belt and everything. But Vedanta Desikan, from the Sri Sampradaya, in his book, The Yadava Abhyudayam, explains the dilemma of Vamandev. As Vamanadev is entering into the sacrificial arena of Bali, at Bhrigukacha on the banks of the river Narmada, Vaman is thinking, what I should be doing, you know. It is explained, Maya Manavakam Hari, his Hari, is come to take away the whole wealth. Sab kuch chhinne aaye hain from Bali Maharaj. But the problem is, Lakshmi is there on his chest. Shri Vatsa. Arre, jab tak Lakshmi Bali par dekhegi, main wealth kaise chhinunga, he is thinking. So long as Lakshmi is going to glance on Bali Maharaj, how am I going to steal away the wealth of Bali? Therefore, Lakshmi has to be hidden. And the shloka explains, Ajina Uttaram. He was using his Ajina, deer skin, as the Uttari. Right? Uttariya, the shawl. Ajina Uttaram. But when a pujari wears the shawl, then the pujari has to wear the shawl from left to right. You see, covering the sacred thread here. That is the traditional pujari style. And a brahmachari, brahmana is supposed to be wearing like this. Uttariya. You know. And Lakshmi ji, Shrivatsa is on the righter side of Lord Vamandev's chest. So he was thinking, Uttariya is not covering Lakshmi. And if Lakshmi looks at Bali, means finished. I can't take away his wealth. So Vamanadev, Vedanta Desikan explains, change the direction of the shawl. Right. Usually you put it from the left to the right. He put it from the right to the left so that Lakshmi is covered. But when Lakshmi was covered under, Lakshmi was thinking, kaun hai ye banda? Jiske liye itna adjustment kar rahe Vamandev. She was thinking, who is this guy? Who is this guy for whom so much adjustment is being made? He's adjusting as if he's a theatrical actor. Who is this gentleman? So Lakshmi ji, she pulled her head out and looked at him. And therefore, Vedanta Desikan says, sab kuch chheen liya, lekin Lakshmi ne dekha tha. Therefore, the blessing of Lakshmi on there was there. Thus, Sutala Loka came later, even better than heavenly planets, you know. And therefore, here also there is a very powerful lesson. The Sri Vaishnava Acharyas have commented that Lakshmi, coming from Srimati Radharani, Adi Shakti, Ladini Shakti, has three roles to play. Ladini Shakti has three roles to play. Like any lady in this world has three roles to play. A lady, her first responsibility is to her husband, and therefore she's always trying to please the husband. Similarly, Lakshmi Devi, her first responsibility is to please Krishna, please Vishnu. Pleasing, she's the pleasure potency, meant for the pleasure of the Lord. The second role of Lakshmi Devi is to mediate between the Jiva and Krishna. She's mother. Just like many times, you know, between mummy and papa, bacha bechara, you know, the child is like really suffering, and the father ke saath, you know, there is upset, chattis ka akada and fighting and all that, and then the mother comes in the middle, tells the father, aapka hi beta hai ji, le lo, no problem, and tells the beta, aapke hi pita ji hai, kya problem hai, chalo, no problem, you know, patch up, don't worry. Well, similarly, Lakshmi Devi is the mediator, mediating between the Jiva and Krishna. And the third is that she always teaches lessons through her personal example to the Jivas. Like Sita Devi, for example, being kidnapped. She is not an ordinary soul, but the Acharyas call upon her example and say she's compared to the Jiva. So she's teaching lessons through her example. Or like in the spiritual world, Lakshmi is brooming to teach us what is of value. Seva is of value. I'm in Vaikuntha, but Lord Vishnu's feet I can massage. But I take a broom in my hand and I serve. Like a mother will teach the child through her example. So these are the three roles Lakshmi has to play. Please, Lord Narayan, mediate between the Jiva and the soul and teach all the Jivas through her personal example. And therefore we see that even here, Bali and Vaman are there, but the mother is there. So long as the mother is there, doesn't matter. Even if the father is a little intense, Even the father takes away things, father is going to take away everything. But mother is very kind. Don't worry. I have looked upon you. I have seen upon you. I will give you everything in return. Do not worry. And therefore, the representatives of Srimati Radharani and Lakshmi Devi and Sita Devi in this world are Guru and Vaishnavas. They are the ones between us and Krishna. Like Lakshmi, representing her, always trying to connect us to Krishna. Kala Krishna Das, Lord Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected him. He had made a blunder and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected Kala Krishna Das. But the representatives of Lakshmi, Srimati Radharani, the Vaishnavas, Nityanand Prabhu, and all the other Vaishnavas, devotees of Lord Chaitanya, they reinstated him in his service. And therefore, even if the Lord may be heavy, the devotees will never be heavy. You know. And thus, Prabhupada many times said that devotees are greater than the Lord. Because Lord is very conditional many times. But beginning from Srimati Radharani down to all the Vaishnavas following her and representing her, they are unconditional. Sochte nahi ki isne aisa aisa gadbad kiya, main lunga nahi mere paas. No. This no problem. Kitna bhi gadbad kiya, aa jao. Doesn't matter. Aa jao. Doesn't matter. Constantly giving, of course, not that they unconditionally try to rectify the mistake, but they always give shelter. Krishna says, I can't give shelter like that easily. And therefore, devotees are the ones who will always be the mediators representing Lakshmi and Srimati Radharani between us and Krishna. Like Shri on the chest of Vamanadev became the cause of mediation between Bali and Vamana. Conditioned soul is driving the vehicle very fast of his life. But the problem is, he is driving it towards the valley of hell because of an unregulated lifestyle. And when this vehicle is being driven at high speed towards hell, devotees are like the police van, you know. So devotees come and tell the conditioned soul, "Arey bas, ye galat jaga ja raha hai. U-turn le lo. Take a U-turn and change the direction of your vehicle." The problem is, wo bolta hai, asli police hai ki nakli police hai, you know. That is the problem. The devotees are coming in the life and trying to help us to change the direction of our life, but we many times may not have trust. That here are the devotees who are helping me. If one puts faith in Guru and Vaishnavas, then the U-turn and takes a U-turn, saved from going to hellish life. So they are the mediators. They will change the direction of our life. And the path may appear very long. Ulta hog U-turn karke aaya na, long road. Abhi aaya nahi destination. Golok aaya nahi, golok aaya nahi. Un achha tha, short route tha, lekin narak ja raha tha. It was a short route, but it was going to hell. This is a long route, but it's going back to the spiritual world. And on the way to the spiritual world, there are many, many agents of Maya trying to tell, "Utar ja, ye police nahi hai. This is not police. Get down. Where will you reach?" Many constantly propaganda is being made. Gossip, prajalpa, and so many things to break our faith in the association of devotees. And therefore, one should understand that the association of devotees is the representation of Srimati Radharani and Lakshmi Devi for us to connect to Lord Vamanadev. After this, when Vamanadev comes into the arena of Bali Maharaj, Bali Maharaj puts him on a seat and washes his lotus feet and takes the tirtha, the charanamrita, and puts it on his head. And Shukadeva Goswami explains based on what he does. He says, Bali Maharaj remembered Gangadhara, Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is such a great personality, he is auspicious, but he has held the foot wash, the charanamrit of the Lord, Ganga, on his head, on his jata. Therefore, he is called Gangadhara. And Prabhupada's purport to this verse is brilliant. I mean, actually, if devotees can go through this 3-4 chapters, I mean, I am just kind of summarizing. It is an incredible episode, and Srila Prabhupada's purports, Bhaktivedanta purports, are amazing to this whole story, you know. So Prabhupada explains there, Bali Maharaj remembering Shiva, that he took the foot wash on the head, so he's also taking foot wash. And Prabhupada says, because he followed a Mahajan, he became a Mahajan. What is the way to become a Mahajan? To follow another Mahajan. Lord Shiva is such a great Mahajan. And because Bali Maharaj followed in the footsteps of a great Mahajan like Lord Shiva, followed in the footsteps of a great Mahajan like Prahlad, therefore, he could also become a great Mahajan. Or Govind Prabhu, He gives a nice example that previously in the Vedic times, when someone wanted to go to Badrinath, it was very difficult. There was no way. No way to go to Badrinath. Today they have helicopter service also. You know, 130 kilometers up way, go by road, and then from there you can take a helicopter from the helipad to go. And not so too exorbitantly expensive also. But in the bygone ages previously, people didn't know how to go to Badrinath. But the great sages, they took it upon them. They walked to go up to see Badri Vishal. And by their walking, a path was formed. What is called the Pagdandi, you know, a kacha path to walk. And then following this path, so many people went. The general masses could go to Badri Vishal. And now there is a pakka road made to go to Badrinath to see Badri Vishal. And Govind Prabhu, in his Mahabharat controversies lectures, I remember he had given this example. And he was saying that we are all like the general masses, but all the Mahajans, they went to Badri Vishal, to the scriptures. They made the path. And if we just follow the path, Mahajana ye na gathas pantha, then we can also become a Mahajan. Not the Mahajan in the great sense that I am a Mahajan, but we can get wonderful qualities like a Mahajan. Thus, once someone devotee came to Srila Prabhupada and said, Prabhupada, you are the 13th Mahajan. Prabhupada said, you are the 14th. You know, the chain should not end here. Right. It's not that the Mahajans are finished. 12 Mahajan ho gaye, and then no. 14th Mahajan should be there. And therefore, Prabhupada said, the modern mentality is change. And I'm afraid that you will change. Do not change. He said, speak as I spoke and do as I did. And the Hare Krishna mission will remain the way it is and expand for that matter. But do not change, because that is the modern mentality to change. Follow what has been given. Mahajanayena Gatha Sapantha. His own is Radhanath Swami Maharaj was explaining. Out of the 12 Mahajans, two are from Diti. You know, Diti and Kashyap Muni. He said, there are 12, but prominently two Mahajans, Prahlad and Bali, both of them were born out of a mistake, he said. You know, Diti and Kashyap Muni, Kashyap had told, do not do this. You know, it's a wrong time to conceive. But Diti was insistent. So Hiranyakashipu was born, Hiranyaksha was born, and then of course Prahlad, Bali, Virochan. Maharaj was mentioning mistake of Diti and Kashyapa led to two great Mahajans coming, but that was only because of shelter. They took shelter. Prahlad took shelter, Bali took shelter, therefore they became Mahajan. So an apparent mistake can change into greatness, an asset, if there is shelter of Lord Sri Krishna. You know, in this way, Bali Maharaj washes and takes the Charanamrit on the head. After that, he says, what do you want, son? Ask. And Vamandev says, give me 3 steps of land. You know, so 3 steps, I can give you whatever you want. What are you talking of? Only 3 steps of land? No. I can give you the entire Dvipa. And then Vamandev speaks the next lesson from the story, and that is satisfaction. He says, until unless one is satisfied, no matter what one has, he will always be miserable. And he says, yadrichaya labha tushtaya tejo vipraya vardhate tushtaya. When someone is satisfied, tejo vardhate, his power increases. Power increases not by grabbing power. Power increases by 2 things, blessings and satisfaction. If one has the blessings of the Guru and one is satisfied with what has, tejo vardhate. Yadrichaya labatushtaya tejo vipraya vardhate. It grows on increasing. Tat prashamsanti. But if one is not satisfied, then whatever power one has achieved will go away. Whatever one has will be destroyed. And the example Vamandev gives is, it is like pouring water over fire. Dissatisfaction means pouring water over fire and it will be extinguished. The power that one has gained with tremendous amount of effort will be finished. And the problem is, modern civilization is a civilization of creating dissatisfaction. Media, you know, entire media is about advertising things in a way that someone sent me an email with the best advertisements for the year. And one advertisement was Colgate toothpaste, and there was an old man with no teeth. You know, So it's seemingly, you know, that you use Colgate, what teeth will grow, I don't know. But if one wants to see how the media brainwashes people and how things work, just a small recommendation, but there is a beautiful video called The Story of Stuff by Annie Leonard. And if you want to see how media bombards us and how media keeps us a victim of consumerism, dissatisfied constantly, then this video clip, 20 minutes only, Story of Stuff by Annie Leonard, extremely powerful. And recently in the Brahmachari class, someone sent me a poem by email and I recited in the Brahmachari class and they were saying, they were too excited about it. And it is so relevant, especially those who work will really relate to it very well. Hindi poem. I'll recite this Hindi poem to see how dissatisfaction is into the veins of modern civilization. You know, it says, Pareshan thi pappu ki wife, you know, kyunki non-happening thi uski life. Pappu ko na milta tha aaram, din raat karta tha kaam hi kaam. Pappu ke boss bhi the bade hi cool, promotion ko har baar jaate the bhool. Par bhoolte nahi the wo deadline, kaam to karate the up until 9. Pappu bhi banna chahta tha best, isiliye to wo nahi karta tha rest. Din raat karta boss ki gulami, appraisal ki ummeed mein karta tha salami. Din guzre aur fir guzre kuch saal, bura hota gaya pappu ka haal. Pappu ko ab kuch yaad na rehta tha, galti se biwi ko behan ji kehta tha. Aakhir ek din pappu ko samajh aaya aur chhod di usne appraisal ki mohmaya. Boss se bola, tum kyon satate ho, appraisal ke laddu se buddhu kyon banate ho. Promotion do varna chala jaunga, appraisal dene par bhi wapas nahi aunga. Boss has ke bola, nahi koi baat, abhi aur bhi pappus hai mere paas. Ye duniya pappuon ki bhari hai, sabko bas aage badhne ki padi hai. Tum na karoge to kisi aur se karaunga, tumhari tarah ek aur pappu banaunga. You know, this is a very interesting poem, I felt, exactly explaining precisely how the modern civilization is based on the culture of dissatisfaction. And Vamandev explains how it is very, very important to be satisfied. Sudama Brahman, he, when there was no wealth, he was satisfied. And by the grace of Lord Krishna and Lakshmi Devi, when he got wealth, he was still satisfied. Because satisfaction for him didn't come from wealth or assets. Satisfaction for him came from his service. Satisfaction doesn't come from things. It only comes from service to the Lord, to the spiritual master and to the Vaishnavas. Then having a lot is okay. And if by the will of the Lord, if things are gone, still that is okay. A devotee doesn't get bothered by that. You know, Sudama didn't have anything. He was happy serving Lord. Sudama got so much. He was happy serving the Lord, to show us that happiness doesn't come from things. Satisfaction never comes from things. It comes from service to the Lord. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also based his movement on that. He himself, in his personal life, you know, he said the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, they're living under trees, but they're building massive temples for the Lord. And Prabhupada also did that. Satisfied. He didn't want this or that. He was satisfied in his service. And one time a devotee said, Prabhupada, I want to always be situated at your lotus feet. Prabhupada said, that is impossible because I am constantly on a move. And how will you be situated always at my lotus feet? You know, he was constantly, he had massive apartments that devotees built for him. Satisfied in his service. He didn't say, now I'll stay here because there's a big room that devotees built me at the Bhaktivedanta Manor or at Krishna Balaram Mandir. No. It wasn't opulence that gave him that satisfaction. It is that service to the Lord that gave him that satisfaction. And therefore, Raghav Pandit is a classic example of trying to serve Krishna and satisfy the Lord, even sometimes at the cost of his own trouble. He would get a coconut from miles away, and if that coconut would get contaminated, rush to get that coconut. Apparently, it was troublesome, but very satisfied. Why? Because satisfaction comes from service. Of course, now we will fast forward the story to come to the conclusion of this chapter, because time is not sufficient. I was thinking like that, it won't be sufficient, so I thought I'll come till where I can and then come to the last verse and conclude the discussion on Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. So, Vamanadev speaks about satisfaction And then finally, Bali Maharaj, you know, agrees to give in charity. At that time, Shukracharya curses Bali, like predicted by Brihaspati. That, you know, now that you are disobeying my orders, you will have to go to hell. This is the exact words he uses. You will have to go to hell. Bali Maharaj doesn't bother. And in that purport, of course, the detailed purport, Prabhupada talks about Anukullasya Sankalpa, Pratikullasya Varjanam. And as he is giving the charity from the spouted pot, Shukracharya enters into the spouted pot. And he blocks the spouted pot so that water doesn't come out. Well, you can imagine the desperation. You know, he blocks that spouted pot. And at that time, Lord Vamandev takes a kushagras and pierces through the spouted. That spout, you know, usme se aata hai na pani. Pierces through that spout. And it goes and pierces one eye of Shukracharya. Therefore, according to the Purana, Shukracharya only has one eye now. Right. He's one-eyed person. Because it was pierced by Lord Vamanadev. Anyways, he gives in charity 3 steps of land. Vamanadev expands over the entire universe, 2 steps. And then the final is the 3rd step. And he says, put it on my head. He's humiliated badly. All of these things happen. And finally, at the end of it all, when Bali Maharaj is now surrendered, and Lord Vamanadev has blessed him, that you'll go to Sutal Loka. The curse you've gone to hell is true, but not ordinary hell. Sutal, created by whom? Vishwakarma. The person who made the heavenly abodes. So it's not an hellish planet, Prabhupada writes in the purport. It's better than the heavenly planets. Plus, I'll be there as your Dwarpal. Right? Constantly there to give you association. And one very powerful thing the Lord blesses Vamandev is, Bali Maharaj is, he says, Bali, you're fearful that in the Sutala planets, the other demons, their association will affect you. I bless you. That even in the midst of this demoniac personalities, you will be unaffected by their association. So he gets Sutala, he gets the Lord's personal association, and he gets assurance that he will not be affected by the material association in and around him. So finally, Lord Vamandev comes to Shukracharya and says, my dear Shukracharya, your disciple, you know, what was the mistake he committed? What was the problem in his performance of yajna? What was the fault? And then Shukracharya chants the verse that we are reading today. Mantratas tantratas chidram deshakala arhavastutam sarvam karoti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava. He explains that how there may be discrepancies in the chanting of mantras, in the giving of charity, in the following of all kinds of regulative principles. But sarvam karoti nishchidram. Everything will be nullified. All discrepancies are finished. How? Anusankirtanam tava. By the chanting of your holy names, my dear Lord. And Prabhupada's purport elaborately focuses on this principle of how when one chants Hare Krishna, all the mistakes and the discrepancies are nullified. In particular, Prabhupada quotes Jiva Goswami and says, how there are many offenses in deity worship and other things, but by chanting Hare Krishna, devotee should be attentive to follow everything properly. Not that abhi Hare Naam sab kar dega, to offense kitna karna hai kar sakte, no. But after taking care, if there are any faults, chanting Hare Naam will all be nullified. And therefore, classic example is Dhruva Maharaj. When Dhruva Maharaj was about to go back to Godhead, the Vaikuntha airplane came to take him. And when Nanda Sunanda, they came down, Dhruva Maharaj had forgotten Vismrita Kramaha. He forgot the Krama, Shodash Upchar Puja, Swagatam, Suswagatam, you know, Asanam, all the 16 Upcharas. He forgot the Kram, how to offer it. Grinan Madhudvisha. All he did was he chanted the holy name bus. And all the discrepancies in forgetting the sequence and all of that was finished. Gone. Once Mother Yamuna, she was in Kumbh Mela. And during the Mangalarti, you know, it was time to offer Mangalarti. And Kumbh Mela time, it's very cold in Allahabad. So now she was trying to light up the Mangalarti lamp, the incense stick first, to offer Mangalarti. But she wasn't able to because matchbox gets soggy, you know. And in India, it's a common practice. Matchbox gets soggy, so people take the matchbox and blow air. You know, they blow the air from the mouth and then they light it up. But you can't do it for deity worship. How will you blow air? So she was helpless standing there. Absolutely no idea what to do. Prabhupada was there, and when Srila Prabhupada saw this, that she's so helpless, she can't do anything, Prabhupada looked at her and said, "Don't worry, Yamuna. After all, it is the age of Sankirtan. You know, it's not deity worship age." And then she felt hope. There may be many discrepancies in following. Not that we should make discrepancies. We should be very pakka in following everything. But if there is any fault, then chanting the holy name will nullify dham aparat and nam aparat, not Vaishnava aparat. That is the only aparat that can't nullify. You know, and therefore, Srila Prabhupada one time told his devotees that in the Hare Krishna movement, we may have bells, ringing bells, but the real bell is not this bell. This pleases Krishna, but not as much. The real bell that pleases Krishna is the mouth. The mouth is like the gong of the bell. You know, the conical structure. Sorry, that's the conical structure. And the tongue is like the gong, which goes back and forth. He said, just like in the conical structure, when the gong goes back and forth, there is tan, tan, tan. That is pleasing to Krishna. But more pleasing to Krishna is when in this mouth, the tongue vibrates and the holy name is chanted. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada, even during the Krishna Balaram temple opening, when the yagya was performed by all the brahmanas, he knew there will always be discrepancies. Yagya in this age means there will be some discrepancy. So he told all the devotees, chant loudly. Chant the holy name loudly. Anusankirtanam tavas, all the discrepancies can be gone. If you see any yagya, what is the last mantra? Kaya navacha manasaindriyarva buddhyatmanava prakritiswabhavat kalomi adnyut sakaram parasme narayanadit samarpayami. You know, all what is done by the body, the mind, the word, the senses, narayanadit samarpayami, offered to Lord Narayan. And after that, what does everyone chant? Ganesh Utsav in Maharashtra, narayanadit samarpayami, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. So even the smartha brahmanas, they know that all the discrepancies will be nullified by what? Anusankirtanam tava. And therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, to conclude, when he was giving this lecture at Juhu, Radhika Vallapur was telling me this point, that when he was giving lecture at Juhu on Bali Maharaj Vamandev's episode, he quoted a very powerful thing. He said, in the fourth canto, we have the story of Prajapati Daksha. Prajapati Daksha performed the entire sacrifice, and at the end of the sacrifice, all the faults will be taken care of by chanting holy name. But the problem is, the first offense to the holy name of the Lord is, you know, to commit a Vaishnava aparat. So although he performed yagya, and the nullification of all discrepancies done by holy name chanted at the end of the yagya, but he offended Lord Shiva. And therefore, not only did the sacrifice become fruitful, not only did it not become fruitful, but he was destroyed. And therefore, His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was saying, in all the activities of Krishna consciousness, whether it's preaching, whether it's chanting, whether it's giving in charity, whatever, it's like yagya. All the discrepancies will go away by chanting Harinam. But if one commits offense to a devotee, like Daksha committed to Shiva, then one is definitely destroyed. And therefore, it is said that if we live with devotees, then there is conflict. And if we live alone, then there is hypocrisy. Kali Yuga means quarrel and hypocrisy. If we are amongst devotees and if we do not follow the proper principles, we will engage in conflict. And if we think, therefore, I don't want to stay with devotees, I'll stay away, then one becomes hypocritical, right? And becomes a victim of the mind. And therefore, rather than becoming hypocritical, it is better to remain in the association of devotees. And even if apparently there is some differences, some conflicts here and there, at the end of the day, when one is going back to Godhead, one is not going to remember what differences one had, Maharaj says. One will only remember the wonderful times one had in Krishna consciousness. And at the end of the day, at the last moment, one will only remember the regrets that I should have not done this to this devotee. Baki kuch yaad nahi aayega. I should not have done this to this devotee. And therefore, while living in the association of devotees, if we are careful to guard against Vaishnava aparat, then all discrepancies in any devotional act, sarvam karoti nishchidram anusankirtanam tava, will be nullified by the chanting of the holy names of Shri Krishna. Therefore, Jiva Goswami, he explains that there are only two things needed to go back to Godhead. One is perfect chanting and second is perfect dealings. If one has effort to improve the quality of chanting, along with effort to improve the dealings with other devotees, then definitely this verse, mantratas tantratas chidram, desh kalarha vastutam, sarvam karoti nishchidram, anusankirtanam tava. Any discrepancy in any act of devotional service will be nullified by the chanting of the holy name if there is no Vaishnava prat, and if one is careful about dealings with devotees. So out of many, many lessons which I have skipped through, these are a couple of lessons that we can learn from this wonderful pastime of Vamanadev and Bali Maharaj. I wish to thank all of you very, very much. Hare Krishna. Jaya Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Gaur Premanande.